6, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. It says, in Proverbs 20, verse number 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? I believe that to be so. I believe that most people probably think of themselves as pretty good people. They think, well, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, they look in the mirror and they think, man, that's a good guy there. Or a good lady, whatever you want to say. You go out and talk to lost people, and usually that's what they say. They think they're pretty good folks. You know, I can get into heaven because I'm a pretty good person. But the fact of the matter is that we're not good. And we're not faithful. I mean, some people are more faithful than others, and we'll look at a few men in the Bible who God says were faithful, but they weren't faithful 100% of the time. Men can't be. Men can't be faithful all the time, 100% of the time, because, you know, we're just sinful human beings. But the fact of the matter is that we have a God who is faithful. God is faithful. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a God who is faithful. God is faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have given to us. We thank you that you are a good and a gracious Heavenly Father to us. We're thankful that you love us, and Lord, that you provide all of our needs, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight and show us your goodness and show us your love to us tonight, Father. We believe that you are a faithful God to us, and Lord, we need to rely upon you. We need to look to you for strength and guidance and wisdom because, Lord, we're sinful human beings and we readily admit that. Lord, we love you and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A Spanish proverb says this, tell me what you brag about and I'll tell you what you lack. Tell me what you brag about and I'll tell you what you lack. Lots of people brag about this, they brag about this, they're very braggadocious. But they fail to give God the glory. They don't give God the glory. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners and we've fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of that glory. We have failed to bring glory to God the way that we should. Same book, different chapter, Romans chapter number 1, says that they did not glorify Him as God. They did not glorify Him as God. The book of Revelation talks about a time period during the Great Tribulation where God is sending all kinds of plagues, hailstones, all kinds of bad things upon this earth. And John says that they refuse to glorify God. They will not bow the knee. They will not glorify God. You know, the biggest problem with mankind, you can just look right in the mirror and you can see what the problem is right there. Everyone has their own idol, and my idol, most of the time, my problem is me. I just look right in the mirror. Everyone's got their things that they struggle with, and they always put me first. They always put God, they always put themselves above God. That's the problem. We don't glorify God enough. We think, well, we're pretty good people. We're pretty righteous people. But the fact of the matter is that we're not good people. We're not good enough. We've all fallen short of those things. Most people have a pretty high opinion of themselves. The Bible talks about several men in the Bible who were faithful men. Abraham is an example of faithfulness in the Bible. He did good things. The Bible says that he was a friend of God. He was pretty good until he went down into Egypt where he shouldn't have been going. And then he lied about Sarah being his sister and almost had his wife taken away. Those kinds of things. He was not faithful right there. Hey, he took his eye off the ball. He took his eye off of God. He took his eye off of God's word. Ever happened to you before? You forget about the promises of God. You forget about God's faithfulness. You forget about God's word. And what happens? You go off to the side. You get out of God's will. What about old Moses? Bible says Moses was a faithful man, meekest man of all the earth. What happened to Moses? Well, he lost his temper and struck the rock twice when he should have spoke to it like God told him to. What happened to Moses? Well, he couldn't get into the promised land. He was a faithful man up to that point, and I'm sure there was other failings in his life. What about old Noah? The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God picked Noah out of all the people of the earth to build an ark. Noah survived the flood, all of those horrible things, and gets out of the ark and goes out and gets drunk. The last thing you find out about Noah is he's drunk in his tent and he's cursing his son. He was a faithful man all the way up to that point. He took his eye off the ball. You know what the determining factor or the qualifying factor in all those things were? The Word of God. The Word of God was the qualifying factor in all of those things. They took their eye off of what God had said, and they went astray. The Bible says that we are like sheep. Christians are like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Did you know that sheep are not very smart creatures? They are not. That's why the Lord used sheep to picture Christians. Sheep are defenseless creatures. They can't go out and attack a lion. I guarantee you. They're not going to go out and get a cheetah and take him by the throat and tear him in two. They're defenseless. I read a story one time about a bunch of sheep over in Turkey. This guy had 1,500 sheep out in his herd. 1,500 sheep. He left them alone for a while, and there was a cliff nearby. One sheep started walking, and he went off the cliff. The next sheep started walking, and he was following other sheep, and he went off the cliff. And about 400 went off the cliff. They were all following the same sheep, and they kept piling up and piling up and piling up. 1,500 sheep went off the side of the cliff. 1,100 of them survived. The 400 on the bottom was the one that cushioned the fall there. Sheep are not smart creatures. I hate to tell you that. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We must follow Jesus Christ. We must look to God. We must look to Jesus Christ, because if we don't, we'll go out of His way. We'll go out of our way. We'll get out of His will. We got to follow Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because we're not faithful. We're full of sin. All these different things. Sheep are followers. We must keep our eyes upon God. We must follow Him. We must follow Him. Why? Because God is a faithful God. You quit following God, you're going to get out of the will of God. We must follow Him. The first thing that He is faithful to do is He is faithful to forgive us when we fail Him. And we need that. We must have forgiveness. I couldn't make it through the night if it was not for the grace of God. And neither could you. If you did not have the mercy of God, God would strike you dead now. Because we are rebellious creatures. And we have to have God. God is faithful to forgive us. Aren't you glad about God's forgiveness? You get out of the way, but He lets you come back. He lets you get back in the fold. He takes care of you. Why? Because He's a forgiving God. He is forgiving to us. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. God is a forgiving God. Boy, He is gracious and kind and loving. Couldn't have made it through the week without the forgiveness of God. You know, we must repent every single day. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's about repentance every single day. We must have forgiveness from God. We must have it. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We must have forgiveness. Must have it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful and just. You know what? God is just to forgive us even when we're guilty. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only basis that He can forgive sins on. He cannot forgive sins because we are good people, because we are not good people. Amen. He cannot forgive the sins of a lost person based on their goodness. He cannot do it. Must be the blood of Jesus Christ. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If it were not for the grace of God, we would not be alive today. We would not have a God today. We are a needy people. Job said in Job 15, 15 and 16, "Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints." His saints, the good ones. The good ones. "Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water." Not a very high estimation of man, is it? Sure isn't. Boy, I'm glad I've got a holy and a faithful and a just God that I serve. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Jesus Christ talked about forgiveness for others. Now, we have a God who forgives us. Now, how bad is it when a Christian will not forgive someone else? You know, there are Christians out there today that claim to be Christians, but yet they will not forgive their neighbor. They have a grudge against their neighbor. They will not forgive their neighbor, a family member, a church member, a so-called friend. Jesus Christ, I believe it was in Luke chapter number 17, he was talking to his disciples. He says, "If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him and then forgive him." What if he does it once in a day? Forgive him. What if he does it twice in a day? Forgive him. Seven times in a day? Forgive him. That's the kind of forgiveness that Christians ought to have. He said another time in the Gospels, he says, "Until 70 times 7, 490 times. You know, by the time you get to up to about 50, you've already forgotten how many times you've forgiven that person. Well, that's a pretty tall order today. What do we want to do? We want to get in the flesh and get some revenge against people, don't we? I'm going to get you. That's not what Christians do. Not what Christians are supposed to do, but yet they do it sometimes, don't they? I was reading a story about this woman named Vivian Malone. She was a young black woman in 1963. She had enrolled in a University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And Governor George Wallace, as a political stunt, decided he was going to stand at the doors of the university and not let her come in because of her skin color, of course. Segregation at that time. He said, "You're not coming in." Of course, they had this big TV cameras and all these different things. And he was standing there. He says, "She is not coming into the university. She will not come in." He had to get out of the way. They had the law there. She was going to come in. This Vivian Malone went to school there, graduated, and at the end of George Wallace's life, by the way, he was shot by a man back in probably the 70s, I believe it was, shot by a man in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair, ended up in the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church with Vivian Malone there that day. And he said, "Vivian Malone, I want forgiveness for what I did." And she said, I forgave you years ago, a long time ago. Later on in an interview, they asked Vivian Malone about, "Why did you forgive George Wallace?" And by the way, a lot of horrible things that he did. But she said, "Why did you forgive George Wallace?" She said, "I'm a Christian, and I grew up in the church. I was taught that we are all equal in the eyes of God. I was also taught to forgive people, no matter what. And that is what I had to do. I didn't feel as though I had a choice." And she forgave him. You know, Christians don't have a choice when it comes to forgiveness. No matter how bad the things. You know what? Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." After they had spit in his face, and after they hated him so badly. Christians don't have a choice but to forgive. Why? Because we have a God who forgives. That's why. Amen. We have a God who forgives. Now, how hypocritical is it for a Christian not to forgive? I'm going to hold a grudge. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but it's not the one I serve. We have a God who forgives. Thank the Lord that He forgives. Thank Him that He forgives. He not only forgives, but He confirms us in our relationship with Him. Are you saved here this evening? Did you know that God confirms you in the relationship? He is faithful to confirm you in that relationship. If you're saved, you ought to know that you're saved because God confirms it to you. He confirms it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 says, "Who shall also, Jesus Christ, shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is faithful. He's faithful to confirm you. He will confirm you unto the end. Why? So that you can be blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful to confirm us. You know what that word firm means? It means to make firm or to establish you in the faith. You think God is going to let one of His children hang around and not know whether they're His child or not? He will not. He will let you know if you are His child or not. You know, I started dating my wife back in 1988. Me and her started talking. Then I started writing letters to her, and she started writing letters back to me. And after a while, I asked her to go out with me. The relationship started getting kind of serious. Then after a while, I asked her to marry me. You know that things really started to change after me and my wife got into a relationship. Man, it was a paradigm shift. Things got pretty heated, pretty serious. I knew for a fact that my wife loved me, and she knew that I loved her. After a while, we got married. And to this day, we must confirm that relationship to one another. We must tell each other we love each other quite often. If you don't do that, what happens? Relationship goes stale, goes cold. Doesn't it? That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is. You ought to know that you're saved this evening. God confirms it to you. How? Through His Spirit, through His Word. He tells you He loves you. He shows you that He loves you. You know, after I started dating my wife, and after a while I started giving her gifts. Not very big gifts, because I only worked at Thriftway. $3.15 an hour, okay? I couldn't afford too much. But I got her a ring. I got her a necklace. Got her a few little things. Got her a little rent house. You know, we used to live over there on 17th Street. $175 a month for rent. Big spenders. Just down the street from Logan and Aubrey. $175 a month. You know, the Lord confirms our relationship to us. You know, He does that. He confirms it to us through His Spirit. He confirms it to us through His Word. He confirms it to us through gifts. He gives us gifts. Talking about spiritual gifts for service, for serving Him. He gives us gifts. He gives us grace to serve Him. He gives us all of these different things. How? Why? Because He loves us. You know, He gives us different affections. He gives us different desires. He gives us all these different things. The sin that you used to love, you now hate. And the righteousness that you used to hate, you now love. If that's not true, then you're not saved. There's something different about a person who is saved. You get different friends. You go to different places. You like different music. You start going to church. You start loving the Bible. Most lost people don't read, open the Bible and read it, yet only to look at it and say, man, I don't believe this trash. Throw it away. You start loving the Word of God. You start loving to study the Word of God. You start loving Christian music. I used to hate Christian music. Now I love it. Different desires. What happened? God confirmed His relationship to you because He's a faithful God to do so. He confirms it. God is faithful. God is faithful. You look up in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, so that you come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives gifts while we're waiting on Him to come back so we can serve Him. Gives us grace through every trial. God is faithful. God is faithful to confirm His relationship with us. Faithful to confirm. Through His Holy Spirit, He sanctifies us. He says, hey, that's my child there. That's my child. I'm going to sanctify him. I'm going to set him apart. He's mine. What did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He says, I'm going to sanctify you wholly. That's what God is going to do. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. He's faithful to do so. Sanctify. Starts molding you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Working on you, sanctifying you, cleansing you, all of these different things. Gives spiritual gifts, gives you pastors, teachers. Man, gives you what you need. He confirms a relationship. He confirms it. He confirms that you were His child, and then He sustains you all the way to the end. He sustains you. You need some sustaining here this evening. Sometimes I do. Get dry, you know, have needs. God is there to sustain you all the way to the end. Hey, you think about Elijah. Man, God fed Elijah with a raven and with an angel. God fed the children of Israel with manna out of heaven. God provided water out of a rock. Angels came and ministered to our Lord Jesus Christ when he needed it. You think he's not? The Bible tells us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need. He made us. He knows exactly what we need. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows all these things. Jesus fed 5,000 with five small loaves and two fishes. He can take care of me and he can take care of you. No problem. He knows all about the sparrows. He's going to sustain us through every trial of life. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You know what happens sometimes though? We get to thinking, man, I'm pretty good and I can handle the burdens of life. And we hide those things in our heart and we carry around those burdens ourselves instead of going to the Lord and casting our burdens upon the Lord. That's what we do. What happens? Man, you get tired. What did Jesus say? He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Come on. Come to me. Hey, we're not that good. We need the Lord. We must have the Lord. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He will do it. He will do it. He's faithful to do it. What kind of a God would he be if he didn't? He wouldn't be very connected with his creatures, would he? He would be kind of off in space somewhere and he kind of, you know, something going on down there, but I'm not sure what. That's not the way the Lord is. He's right there with you. He's in your heart. He knows all about it. Every heartache, every fear, every trouble that you have, the Lord knows all about those things. And he's faithful to sustain you through all of them, each and every one of them. Hey, God's faithful. God's faithful. Now, what should we do? Now that you know that God is faithful, what should you do? Not try and carry around all those loads by yourself. Not trying to carry around all the guilt of your sin. Don't try and do that. It's too heavy. You got forgiveness through your Father. Don't try and carry those things around. You know what you should do? You should glorify God the way the creation does. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, but men won't do it because we're so rebellious." We fail to give glory to God that he deserves. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day and today utter speech." Hey, creation speaking, they're saying, man, we got a glorious God out there. Look at his creation. Look at all the things that he's made. We ought to be doing those things, giving glory to God. Amen. Because he's faithful. Amen. Look over at Psalms 107 for just a moment. Psalms 107. Wonderful chapter. Psalm 107, verse number 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Hey, are you the redeemed of the Lord this evening? I am the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says that we should say so. We should give glory to God because he's faithful. "And hath gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in." What is he saying about the children of Israel here? He's saying, we're wandering all over the place. Don't know where they're going, don't know what they're going to do, but yet he's got a God. There is a God who is faithful. There's a God who's faithful. Look at verse number 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man." What would the Christians out there tell everybody about how faithful and how great and how good their God is? Would they do it? Because we got a great and a gracious and a wonderful Heavenly Father out there, and he's good to us, and he takes care of us. Verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men." Verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men." Do you think David's trying to get a point across here? I do. Men refuse to glorify God. They refuse to give Him the glory. Why? Full of pride. Full of pride. They don't want to give the glory to God. And that's what we should be doing. Because He's a faithful God. He's a good God. So we don't boast in our own goodness and our own righteousness and our own strength. Why? Because we're fallible human beings. And we need the Lord. So we praise Him. We praise Him. The last thing we need to do is to look like the average person. What did Solomon say in our verse there? The average person does. Proclaims everyone his own goodness. Don't be that way. Proclaim the goodness of God because He deserves it. He's great and He's faithful and He provides everything that we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,